Well, thank you for being with us through this lunch hour. And all right. Okay, wait. She wants to document this first. Then I'll take it off. It's funny, it's not distracting to me. So I, as Janie mentioned, I have been with CPWR for about a year now. I came from a wonderful university-based program where I was the director for 30 years of the Labor Occupational Health Program at UC Berkeley, where we tried to bridge the world of academia and the community, particularly the worker community. And so this was a really exciting opportunity for me to work on a national scale and in one of the most hazardous industries in the country with wonderful colleagues at CPWR to really dig in to understand more about how do we move from research to practice. And and unfortunately nobody has approached me to buy me off yet. I still hold out hope. So really to think about this problem we have, which is being known around the world as the no-do gap. There's so much we know. We know more and more. We have more and more research about, we understand more about what the problems are. We understand even about what the solutions are in many cases to public health problems, but that isn't necessarily making it into the real world where the rubber meets the road and decisions are made about how things are done to make the world a safer place. And so this is an exciting opportunity for us at CPWR to really try to dig into this and understand a little bit more about how we could build that bridge between what we know and what's done in the world of construction. And this is a challenge that NIOSH has thrown out for a number of years and then was emphasized in the recent National Academy's review of construction research at NIOSH. The construction committee came and said, well, we really need to focus now on how to get vital information to the worker in the trench or on the steel, and we need to persuade contractors and workers to adopt interventions developed through research. And that's really the genesis of this special program that NIOSH funded CPWR to undertake. Coming into this, I had to think a lot about what is research to practice and the problem of research to practice in, now it is distracting me, excuse me. There's an article by Kreuter that was really influential to me and I think a lot of people saying, you know, what we lack in public health is a distribution and marketing system. And a system like they have, say, in the automobile industry where it's not just somebody makes cars and then miraculously somebody buys and uses a car. There's an incredible network that's involved in the process from the time it's made to all the intermediaries who transport it, market, finance it, sell it, service it once it's sold, that create an industry. And in public health, we lack that industry. And we're beginning to see that in translational research is really mainly talked about in the biomedical field, where you're beginning to see the growth of a systematic way where you move from lab research to clinical trials to reaching health practitioners with practice guidelines and so forth, so that what we learn about what makes good medicine actually gets to the patient. And the problem we have in public health, in particular occupational safety and health, is, you know we have people doing research on how to, say, make construction safer. We're not quite sure who the end user is. I mean, who is making the decisions about out there? Is it at the level of the individual craftsperson who has to make these decisions and as the end user of research? Is it the contractor? Is it the owner? Is it the design community? It's a very amorphous and complicated group of people who are the end users who have to want to hear about this research and apply it in the workplace. And then who are the intermediaries? How do we reach this? We don't have a neat system like there is, and people complain in the biomedical world that the system isn't developed enough, but we're not even close to where they are. And another field that talks a lot about research to practice, say, is in the education field, where you have educational research. What's the best way to train, to teach young people? But then you have a system of teachers and educational institutions and a way to reach those teachers and in turn reach students. And so we're just lacking that system. So the challenge really is, at least in this one area in construction, how could we begin to build that system that isn't in place? And so building on that, trying to define, well, what is this initiative? What are we trying to do? And we really like this model coming out of the Institute for Work and Health in Toronto that talks about push, pull, and exchange, meaning to build that bridge between the no-do gap, we tend to talk about the push. How do we, who as researchers, push out what we've learned and disseminate it to the audiences we think need to know about it? And then there's pull, where you would have the construction community saying, hey, we need solutions to these problems. Could you please do the research that would find the solutions or evaluate the effectiveness of solutions? But more ideally, an exchange where there are relationships in place where you have both research to practice and practice to research. So that model is what we're trying to build here in construction. It's a lot to bite off and to chew, but it's an important challenge because we can keep doing all the research in the world, and if it's not getting out there on the steel or in the trenches, then what are we ultimately accomplishing? So we're also, finally, in terms of the model we're using, we're talking about a public health model of research where we do everything from defining the problem to identifying risk factors and protective factors. And I think we heard both Sue and Mike talk about this. There's a rich history at CPWR, at NIOSH, and with many other collaborators in doing this research. And then trying to push to the level of also developing and testing prevention strategies, and finally being sure that we assure the widespread distribution or dissemination and adoption of those solutions. So, and so when we talk about R2P, we are talking about that final stage. How are we going to, in the end, disseminate and promote the adoption of evidence-based solutions in construction, health, and safety? But we're also talking about this as a pathway where we're trying to move things forward. So research to practice isn't just that end stage. It's also, so if we get some good information about a problem, how do we go to the next stage of developing solutions, and when we have solutions, how do we go to the next stage of testing those solutions, and then when we have tested solutions, how do we go to the next stage of getting them out there in the world? And we're talking about using a variety of strategies. This is borrowed from the 4 E's of prevention, slightly changed, but really not thinking that any one approach is going to be the approach to getting research into practice, but rather a combination of approaches. I know a lot of people feel like, really, doesn't it come down to the third one here, enforcement? If you make people do it, that's the way you're going to get it done. And certainly it helps when you have policies in place that support it, but often policies alone don't make the difference, so you really need to combine all of these strategies, and the more of the strategies you can use, the further you're going to get toward getting the results you want. So that's sort of my overall view of what are we talking about, even when we say research to practice, because one of the first things I realize is people are talking about a lot of different things when they use that term. So that's what we're talking about when we say research to practice. And the specific program we're building to address this issue has sort of three components, and one is what we're calling research pipelines, and that's where we're trying to take both completed research and do triage, what we're calling triage, go through it and see which things are really ready to get out there in the world and move on to the next step and put new resources into really building on those results. The second is looking at our current research programs and building in a plan for dissemination down the line, or in many cases they have them, but strengthening them. And the second part of this is building partnerships, because one of the things we've seen is that no one party alone can make a difference in terms of some things getting out in the workplace. So what kind of partnerships work? So we're working on doing a case study of the granddaddy of all these partnerships, which is the Asphalt Partnership, which succeeded a number of years ago in completely changing asphalt pavers, all highway-grade asphalt pavers in the country. So we're like, how did you do that? How did that come about? What was that partnership, and what can we learn from it? But also trying to find other examples of successful partnerships, and we're always taking nominations. So if you have some good examples of partnerships, let us know. And then also launching a couple of new partnerships. One is a masonry partnership, which is building on work that was done at CPWR, identifying a number of different solutions for the masonry industry. And now we've launched a initiative sort of built on the asphalt model, but working with masonry labor unions, contractors, and to some extent the design community and others, to really say, okay, look at all the solutions we have in masonry that aren't really out there in the field yet. How do we get them? How do we prioritize them? How do we get them out there? And that's one thing that's, you know, taking off and doing very well. And then the second partnership that we proposed, which we're just starting to work on now, is putting together a partnership to prevent falls among Latino workers specifically, which I think is well justified based on the previous presentations that we just heard. And then finally, we hope to develop a lot of learning and resources and tools that others can use, both in construction and outside of construction, as we build a stronger sense of what does it really mean to bridge that no-do gap. And so I'm going to focus today on the triage process of where we looked at completed research and see how to move it forward. There were 21 projects in the CPWR research consortium that were completed in 2009, and our goal was to review all of them in detail and then each year launch at least two high-priority follow-up projects to move those results forward. And this might mean working with those investigators to do a next-step work, but in many cases it's not. And one thing I want to say that R2P is not, it's not trying to turn researchers into disseminators or social marketers, because that is not making the best use of each person's skills and talents, but rather to link researchers up with advocates, educators, and others who can take it up and go the next step. So what we do for the triage process is we review all the documents, final reports, products of the research, et cetera. We initiate a discussion with all of the the principal investigator, the project officer from CPWR, and a member of our R2P team at CPWR. Then we each individually rate the project in terms of its readiness for transfer, then we analyze across the projects and out of that select some priorities. And we developed a triage list, a way to review each of the projects, which is something we hope to make available and hope may be useful to others too, where we look at their major findings, what they've already done, and everybody's already done some kind of dissemination in all of these cases. Do they have an intervention that's ready to go or not? What kind of priority is it for follow-up? And then what do we think the next step should be? And in evaluating it and ranking, these are the criteria we're using. What's the strength of the design and the findings? What's the potential impact and reach of the research? What's the potential for partnership? Who's out there who could work with us to move this work out? How achievable is it? And is it in a high priority area as defined by largely by the NIOSH, the NORA priority goals? I won't look at it long, and I don't expect you to read this, but just this is an example of a page out of the checklist where we go through and rate and say why we think something is or isn't a high priority. And, you know, mostly it's a tool that leads us to some very rich conversations about what the meaning of the research is and what the potential impact could be, and some exciting ideas about, well, how would we get there, since who are those intermediaries who might be able to use this information and get it out ultimately to the construction work site. And just to share a little bit, just for example, one area we looked at is what dissemination people have already done. And not surprisingly, just about all the researchers in the research consortium had published, not just in the peer-reviewed literature, of course everybody did that, but also many people had made the effort to put something in a lay journal, union newspaper, a contractor, an industry journal, something like that, to get it out to a broader audience. So that was good to see. Everybody had done presentations, again, both academic and professional and audiences, and quite a few people had done different kind of communication. Just about everybody said they posted some results of their research online, and a lot of people said they had produced training products, and I think that's an area we particularly need to look at, because so many researchers are feeling like, oh, that's going to be the great way to do this. I want to get my research embedded into a training program, and the problem is there too we have a gap where people are producing educational materials that are not necessarily being picked up by the training community. So what's the point of that then? So building those bridges is going to be an important focus of what we do going forward. And then, you know, we also saw some weaknesses in the dissemination that's already going on. So this is sort of the baseline before we implement the research to practice program, in terms of not enough focus on upstream strategies like policy input, like tech transfer, things that would actually affect things on a higher level than just an individual reading something and deciding to do something different. Also, we don't see much use of the mass media or social media in dissemination. And we also, of course, didn't see that much of packaging of solutions, which we're realizing is going to be a really great opportunity, where you see, you know, a number of different people have something that really should get to, I'll use residential contractors, for example, very hard audience, as Mike said, very hard audience to reach. And it would be really not very effective to try to reach them with each and every thing about, one thing about falls, one thing about nail guns, one thing about toxic exposures, but rather how do we package some of the evidence-based solutions we have and get them to a particular audience is going to be another area. And then finally, another area we saw emerging is that although people did dissemination, there really wasn't much evaluation of dissemination efforts, of what works. There's just, yeah, we put it out there, but who got it? What did they do with it? We just don't know. So that's another area that we're looking toward, that this review has pointed to, is a need to really invite more research in the area of dissemination effectiveness. So from the initial review, there's actually four areas that we're already pursuing as follow-up projects. I mentioned the bottom one, the Masonry Partnership, that's already underway. The other is tech transfer. We just realized we have an exceptionally poor sense in our field of how do you go, if what you did was develop a new tool, and I'll use an example from our research consortium. David Rempel and his team at Ergonomics Lab developed a overhead drill that's supported, so that you don't have to hold up a drill and hold it, and you can prevent musculoskeletal injuries. It's a great tool. Workers who come in contact with it all want it, but it's not commercially available. So what good is it? If your contractor can't buy it and use it, then what's the point? So we really need to learn how to work with the tool manufacturers, and how do we create a pathway there from a good idea to something that's actually commercially available. And we're going to be hosting a symposium on tech transfer in construction health and safety, and Deborah's working with us on it. Do we know when yet? I don't remember. Of 2012, that will be coming up, so keep an eye open for that. Another is nail guns. We're working with our partners at NIOSH and OSHA on taking the research done by another member of our research consortium, Hester Lipscomb, on nail gun safety. And OSHA and NIOSH just put out a joint guidance document. Did I get that word right this time? I think guidance document was the final term, which is being disseminated, and we're trying to learn something in the process about how do you get information like this out there, whose hands does it get into, and what do they do with it. And then finally, silica, because of the interest in rulemaking around silica, and I won't comment on what's not happening there, but just to say that we do know an awful lot about solutions to silica exposure in construction. There's been a lot of research in this area. There are solutions that are out there, and we want to make those readily available, and we're working now on developing kind of a one-stop shop where construction workers and contractors can go and see, not have to search everywhere to find those solutions, but put them all in one place for them and then promote the use of that resource. So those are examples of some of our follow-up projects to try to push out some of the research. So in terms of what's next, we're going to be finishing the triage process for the completed research. We're going to be working with NIOSH, who's interested in adapting our approach for internal NIOSH research as well. We'll continue to identify and implement and evaluate follow-up projects. We are going to try to build more infrastructure, as I mentioned, to support dissemination, and also to build, go to the next stage of looking at current research and building roadmaps for impact of research down the line. So that's just a taste of what we're working on.